It got up better in a hurry, but now it's night. Pray for them. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to a man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can be out tonight, and we thank you for your word. And I pray tonight that you open our eyes. Lord, help us to see and understand things that as you see them, Lord. And we're just praying for wisdom and filling of your spirit, Lord, and help us get our mind on eternal things. Lord, think about your program, your plans. Lord, I pray that you'd use us there, Lord. And so have your will and way now as the words preached tonight. I pray you speak to our hearts. You know every need. Lord, you know needs that we have before we know we have needs. And so, Lord, we can trust you for that. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Becoming by seeing. That's a familiar text. Matter of fact, I love that text. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. About Elisha's servant and had fear. And Lord, and he said, Lord, he prayed, open his eyes. And man, he said, you know, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he saw those chariots of fire. Man, that's a great text right there. And what had happened, Elisha, you know, of course, God, by God's revelation, was revealing the plans of Syria, that was the Syrians, to the king of Israel. He was saying, this is what they're getting ready to do. So every time Syria got ready to do something, Israel already knew about it. And matter of fact, the king of Syria thought that he had a spy. And they said, I wonder who's telling our plans. And they said, man, it's that Elisha, that man of God. He knows what you're doing in the bedchamber, I think it went on to say. He knows what's going on. And so he tells them. So the king, that Syrian king was Ben-Hadad. He sent his army. He wanted to kill Elisha. First, he sent a spy out to find out where Elisha was. He found out he was at Dothan. And then he sends his army out to surround the city. And I started thinking about that. You know, stupidity is illogical a lot of times. Think about it. If Elisha, by revelation from God, knows everything that Ben-Hadad is doing, and now Ben-Hadad sends an army out to try to kill him, wouldn't Elisha already know that? I mean, he'd already know that, you know, this is how it's working. But, you know, like I said, stupidity is illogical. So he's stupid. He sends him out there. But there's old Elisha. We see him on the scene. He's cool as a cucumber. He's not sweating a load. He's up there in Dothan. He's just doing what he does. And the army was out there, surrounded him. Well, we don't see him sweating a load. We don't see Elisha with fear. We don't see Elisha with worry. You know, because he knew something else that also was going on out there. But his servant was looking out there, and naturally he had this fear, he had this worry. He looked outside and said, Master, how shall we do, man? We are surrounded by the enemy. And so this servant of Elisha's needed to be ministered to. And, you know, what he was going to, and what Elisha had to do, he had another servant, Gehazi, but because of his misdeeds, he was no longer serving Elisha. And this is another servant, a young servant that he had. And if he was going to serve God, and there's application there, if we are going to serve God, that he was going to face some difficult circumstances. And if he was going to serve God, he was going to face some dangerous circumstances. And listen, it's the same with us. There's going to be some difficult circumstances. There's going to be some dangerous circumstances. And it'll probably get worse, as Eddie said today. Listen, things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better as far as how the world views Christianity and those type things. And if we're going to serve Him, you know, we need to learn how to really trust God, really, really trust the Lord. So Elisha prayed three times, and I don't think I've ever preached out of this text on this topic right here, but he prayed three times. In verse 17, he prayed that the Lord would open his servant's eyes. In verse 18, he prayed that God would blind the eyes of the Syrian army. And then in verse 20, he prayed that God would open the eyes of the Syrian army. So there was three prayers that Elisha prayed. All three of them had to do with vision or lack thereof or something with seeing. And so I just want to look tonight. I just got two things. I want to look at two of the prayers and apply them in a spiritual sense. Two prayers and look at them in a spiritual sense. The very first one is seeing God's provision. That had to do with the first prayer. In verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see." And we know what he saw, the mountain full of chariots of fire surrounded about him. This was a word from God, or as we look at it this way, this was God's word. Seeing God's word. There was a woman once told D.L. Moody that she had a wonderful promise from God, from the Word of God, that gave her peace when she was troubled. Psalm 56:3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." D.L. Moody said, "I got a better promise for you than that." He quoted Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." There's a difference in trusting when you are afraid and just not being afraid. And we see Elisha, he was living by that deal right there. Man, he wasn't worried about the army out there. He was God's man. He was God's man on the scene. And so, you know, there's a lot of promises that we have in God's word that have to do. We're living in times when people are living in a lot of fear about a lot of things. You know, and it's, as I said before, man, fear always gets you to halt. Man, I mean, you watch them horror movies, man, and here comes Dracula out. He's going to, you know, and the woman's, you know, what do they do? I'm thinking on TV. What are we thinking when we watch them horror movies and Dracula comes out? Run! And what do they do? Here's the woman. She goes, ah! There's my, and they throw her, ah! Yeah. Waiting right there. I'm thinking, man, I'm getting out of Dodge. Like old Sinbad said, I may get bit, but it ain't going to be on the neck. Because I'm going to be going this way. because it immobilizes you in fear, man. I mean, you just freeze. And there it is. And so what's happened is fear about a lot of different things has frozen the church as far as us, you know, serving God. 23rd Psalm, familiar text for us. David wrote that. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." No evil. None. No kind of evil. I mean, I don't care what it is. He said, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 27:3, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Deuteronomy 20, verse 3 and 4 says, "Ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Listen, there's nothing going on out of God's control, right? I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to die and God wants you to die, nothing will stop. Huh? Nothing will stop. If God don't want you to die, then nothing will kill you. Is that right? Am I right? I mean, I don't say go out here and stick your tongue in a socket right there because things can change in a hurry. I mean, don't do anything stupid. But, I mean, if we're doing what we need to do, we're serving God. I mean, listen, nothing is out of God's control. And so we need to start believing God and trusting God. You know what would happen if we had a prayer meeting and Elisha's servant was one of the guys and he was fearing? You know how we would have prayed? "Lord, give him peace." That's what we said. We said, "Lord, give him comfort." Elisha didn't pray that way. He said, "Lord, just open up his eyes. Let him see what's already a fact." And he didn't even have the Bible. We got the Bible. We got a ton of promises right here. Huh? All those verses right there, trust me, they're not exhaustive. I mean, that's not exhaustive on that topic right there. I mean, man, listen, we can trust in God. We can trust him. Man, he's with us, right? Amen. I mean, Jesus is living in our heart. Huh? I mean, as long as we're in God's will and we're going in God's direction, the plan that God has, what's going to happen? Huh? Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing that God doesn't want to happen. And so Elisha prayed that God would open up, I mean, his spiritual eyes. Listen, I don't believe that Elisha could physically see those chariots of fire before he told his servant. But I mean, I don't know why. I picture things like a play in my mind. When I read the Bible, I picture the scene. I'm picturing the room, wherever they may be, whatever it is. For some reason, when I picture this, that I read that verse, I picture them up in a kind of a high tower, you know, kind of in Dothan, maybe a walled city. They're looking out, and I see like this. I see Elisha's servant looking out, and he's like, "Oh man, ooh," you know, Baptist. You got the Baptist fear going. Oh, and I see Elisha over there, like busy just doing something else, you know, just doing something. And he's going, "Master," and this guy's over here, "Master, how shall we do?" He said, "Hey, don't worry about it, man. There's more with us than there is with them." And then this guy's still afraid. And then he says, "Lord, open up his eyes." I don't even think Elisha looked out there. I don't even see him looking. Why? He already knows. He's looking over here, and he look out, open his eyes, and he goes, "Whoa, man, wow." You know, I don't think Elisha, I know he didn't see him beforehand. But he just knew it. He just knew it. He didn't know how God, listen, God didn't have to have an army. He didn't have chariots of fire. He could have done anything. I mean, in the next prayer he prayed, he blinded the whole army. You know, the next prayer, Elisha knew he could do that. He knew he could pray that prayer right there. Listen, he knew that God had a purpose for him. He understood that. He knew that God had a plan for him to fulfill his purposes on this earth right there. And so he knew during that time that he was invincible. I mean, he was immortal. There was nothing going to happen to him till God was through. I think our problem is we think God's through half the time. We think he's through. And so, I mean, man, it's like a fear. And so this is a prayer that we need to pray that, you know, we need to pray that God would open our eyes to see the provision that God has already made. He's already made provision for the church. We've already got that. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, baptized, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, given to the Holy Spirit as a permanent possession. And, you know, and it was empowered. The church was empowered for times such as this, such at times that we would be living in. These are our times. I say that all the time. We could have been born 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago. We could have been alive on the day of Pentecost. We're alive now. Huh? And we're alive to still do something. God's still got a plan. It doesn't go on hold for anything that's going on politically, socially, you know, economically. That doesn't affect God's plan whatsoever. Think about that early church. I mean, it's not the early church. You know, you look in Acts and you look at that church in Acts. Man, that's exciting. I mean, man, they were all meeting. They met every day. They met every night. Man, everybody was there. There was joy. Thousands of people, 3,000 souls in a single day got saved. I mean, people were fired up about God. They were witnessing, man. And I mean, but right at their leader, Jesus had just been crucified not long before that. I mean, they were meeting for church under the threat of death. You think it's thin in here now? Huh? You just think now, if there was a chance you could lose your life for coming here, huh? I mean, instantly lose your life for coming here. Listen, their leader was crucified. You went to church with your life on the line. But I'm going to tell you what, they didn't give a hoot about that, man. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They were empowered by God. They went to church, man. They sang. They shouted. They led other people. They went out and witnessed. You didn't know who you were witnessing to. But if God's leading you, it don't matter. And they went out and witnessed, and they won people to Christ. And, man, they didn't fear nothing. Thousands a day being saved. Thousands a day added to the church. So much so, it got to the point where the city of Philly, they were afraid to do anything to the Christians because there was such a big crowd of people that were coming into the church. They said, man, if we do that, we're going to have an uproar on our hands. That's the kind of impact we ought to be having on the world right there, where the world's afraid to do anything. What it is, see, we're living in fear. We're hiding under the table. We're hiding in the closet. We're afraid of the world. They were living, and the world was afraid of the church. They was afraid to do anything to the church because they were afraid of what the people might say, what would happen if they did that. And look at us, man, huddled up, tail tucked between our legs, afraid of our own shadow, slumped over, defeated, limping along, resigned to the circumstances of the hour. And isn't it? We don't see that in the early church. We don't see that in the Bible. Same Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the same Holy Spirit. Now we got the Word of God. We've got, you know, I mean, listen, man, this was it. We need to see this. We need to have our spiritual eyes open and say, wow, I mean, we've read all these stories before. We've read that. We know what's going on, but we got to believe. We got to see it with our spiritual eye. We got to believe it in our heart that we're empowered to do that. Listen, it's just the way, you know, that's just the way it is. A need to see. Watchman Nee, he was a Chinese Christian man. He might have been evangelism, whatever. He wrote a lot of books, and he wrote this book called The Normal Christian Life. Well, listen, if you read The Normal Christian Life, you'll see it's not nothing like the normal Christian life we see. The normal Christian life, what it's supposed to be. There was four conditions to live the normal Christian life, he said in the book Normal Christian Life. Knowing, reckoning, presenting ourselves to God, and walking in the Spirit. That's it right there. When we had Brother Lynch preach at the Prayer Advance, I think he's going to be there this year, men, at the Men's Prayer Advance, when he preached on a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that he was talking about that book, about, you know, the Christ life, and he talked about, you know, knowing, and then when it says reckoning, when we reckon something, that means that we see it mentally or mental assent, see it with our heart, see it with our spiritual eye, whatever. And so, you know, there's things when you're looking over in Romans 6, and those, that book is based on Romans 6 and 7, think along there. Romans 6, 1 says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now here's what it says, and I got these underlined. It says, know ye not, know, this is knowledge, that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we, which could be translated since, we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing, there it is this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so, see, we that word knowing, and the fellow that Hugel is who wrote that book, Bone of His Bone, Flesh of His Flesh, and then Ron Lynch preached on that, he talked about that very same thing. Knowing, we have to know that we've been crucified with Christ. We have to know it's already happened. You just got to know it. You got to reckon it, see it. And then we've been resurrected with Christ. You got to know that. You got to see that. So it's Christ's life. You know, we got to see those things right there. We have to believe that. It's, you know, an accomplished fact. And so it's, you know, so Watchman Nee went on to say this. It's when you see that you're dead to sin that you die daily. When you see that you're risen, that you arise. And when you see that you're a new creation, that's when you progress and grow. Man, that you've got to really see it. See, we get to mental assent sometimes. We get it. And you know, the hardest people to convince what I'm telling you is people that have been saved a real long time. We get saved a real, it's not somebody new. You can get somebody fired up in a hurry that just got saved. It's somebody that's been saved a long time. You know, you've been up and down the spiritual barometer, you know, you got, you know, the highs and lows, and you've been a long time, and now you've heard all the things over and over and over again. Prayer, you've heard that word a million and one times, filled with the Spirit, walking in newness of life, and the you've heard all that over and over and over again. But what happens, we got down in that rut so far that we just can't see. We can't see getting out of it. That it's, you know, that it's more, we were in a routine, we're such creatures of habit. It's hard to get people to see that. And listen, and then there's another thing that happens is, and I think Satan has something to do with this, is he's the one that puts it in our head that we got to work and strain and sweat and all that to achieve victory. You know, that we got to work for blessings and we got to work and be filled with the Spirit. Now, listen, all these things are accomplished fact. We died with Christ. The old man is dead. If you're saved, we risen with Christ. That's the newness of life. And we can walk in that newness of life now. We just got to see that. It's not at work. It's not. It's a grace thing anyway. It's not works and this and that. I mean, obviously, we've got to read our Bibles. Obviously, we've got to pray. We've got to have a prayer life and all that. But all the things are already there. They're already in place. And so we just have to see that. What we already have, or what we, not only what we have, but what we are, that's more important than what we have. What we are, who we, what we are in Christ, what we are in Jesus Christ. Listen, we're there it is. We're a new creation. It's a new thing. We just got to see that. We have the victory. That's why Elisha was over there fiddling around, I think, not even looking out the window, because he knew he had the victory. You know, that guy's all concerned. Look at him. His focus is on the circumstance. Master, how shall we do? He's looking at the half-empty glass. He's sweating about what's going to take place. Elijah's concerned with the thing of God. Elisha's concerned with the things of God. And all he's going to, he's, don't worry about it. It's taken care of. Quit sweating it. It's done. We're, you know, we've already got the victory. Don't worry about it. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. We've got the victory. And so we just have to have our spiritual eyes open on that end right there. And then the second point is this, that we have to see the effects of the world upon the church. The second prayer that he prayed. There was old Elisha, you know, here's the army still out there. And he said, so Elisha prays. He said, Lord, just blind them. Get them blind. So they're all blind. There's the whole army out there blind. Elisha goes down there. They don't know who he is. They just were, you know, looking for a person. I don't know if they knew his voice or anything. And he said, hey, I'll take you to the man you need to see. I'll get you where you need to go. Follow me. Well, he took him to Samaria. Samaria was the enemy. That's the enemy camp. That was Israel right then. He took him to, he leads them right into the middle of the camp. And then he prays again. He said, Lord, open their eyes so that they can see. Well, guess what? When their eyes were open, they would stand. They thought they were going in a good way. They thought they were going in a safe way, a right way. Well, you see the spiritual picture right. Right? A lot of times this is what happens. People think that they're going in the right direction. They think that, you know, everything's fine. They just can't see. They're blinded to what's really going on. This has affected the church a lot. It's affected. And what happened? When they opened up their eyes, they were standing in the midst of the enemy camp. Huh? And that king, listen, there's more to the story. You have to read it on your own. The king there, he wanted to kill them all. But Elisha said, no. No, you're not going to kill them. He said, because you didn't fight for them. I brought them down here. He said, you feed him. Man, he got him. He fed him and everything, took care of him. And guess what? Boy, what a lesson. I mean, they didn't have any more trouble out of Syria at that. If they'd have killed them all, they'd have still been at war with Syria. But he said, feed him, send them on back. And he did that. So Elisha prayed, led them there, prayed their eyes would be open. And this is what we need to do as the church. You know, not only do we need to have our eyes open spiritually to see what we are in Christ, that we already have the victory, which is really pictured what's pictured in the first prayer. We need to see, have our eyes opened and see what kind of effect the world has upon the church. How the world is. I don't care who you are. You can evaluate your life. You, me, everybody in here, we have been affected by the world that we live in. Slowly but surely to some degree. I mean, man, it is chipped away and chiseled away, and it's got us a lot of time as a whole church. We're just like the Laodicean church. Man, they thought they were rich, and we're in the Laodicean church age and even going on into the next church age. We're in that age. They thought that they were rich and just blessed. They didn't have a need of anything. You ask, and that's why the indifference and the coldness. Why do you think that a whole lot of people aren't filling up churches, say, at Sunday night services? Can't hardly fill it up on Sunday morning. You know why? Because the Christian people, the people that are the members of the church, they don't think they got a need. They just think everything's okay. It's all going okay. They don't have that need, and so we're just like that. No need of nothing. And the Lord said about the Laodicean church, said, man, you are blind, poor and naked. Man, you're so blind. We're just like those guys. They were blind. They thought they were in a good spot. We got led by somebody. Boy, everything's great. We got led to this place. He opened up your eyes and see where you're at. You're right in the middle of the enemy country. And that's it right there. We're getting out in the middle of the world right there. Can't see the feebleness, the ineffectiveness of the church. We can't see it. Boy, if I'm telling you that if we could take the church whole, and I don't mean just this church, but we'll apply it to us because we're here. But if we took the church today, most of the church, local assemblies, but the church as a whole, Christianity Today, and took it back to Acts, and we stuck what we see in churches today beside what those churches, what's going on there, they would think we were lost as Hogan's goat. They would think, man, there was no comparison. We would look at them in shock, like something's wrong. We would be like the people on the day of Pentecost saying, they're drunk with new wine. What are they smoking? Look at them. They're crazy. That's what we'd say. That's what the church would say. If we saw the church the way it's supposed to be, empowered by God, we think they'd lost their mind. And if they looked at us, they'd say, what's wrong with y'all? What's wrong with you? You're saved? Filled with the Holy Ghost? And this is what you're doing? This is it? This is what you're doing? It wouldn't look the same. It would look like two different groups of people. You know why? Because it would be two different groups of people. Huh? I'm not saying there wouldn't be saved people, saved over here. But just, man, living not with our eyes not open into what's going on. Listen, we hardly, as Christians, we hardly have an impact on our families, much less our workplace or the world. We just don't. We talk about transformation. We talk about transformed lives, yet same habits, same vices, same attitudes, same practices, same priorities that the world has. Got the same thing. The Word of God, you know, the Bible tells us, it talks about putting on Christ. And then in Colossians 3:8-9, it talks about things to put off, that we put off. Now, I got a feeling about this. I mean, it tells us what they are. It says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, which is bad talk, and lying, of course. It tells us to put those things off. Now, I just believe this. I just think that when we go back to the first sight, if we see ourselves, if we learn to see what we are already, and then we are, and when we're filled with the Spirit, I just know this for a fact, that all this other stuff just falls off anyway. I mean, we talk about putting it off. And sometimes in our mind, because it says put off, we get that thought that Satan would put in our head that we really got to work at that. Oh, man, I got to work, toil, and everything to get all this out of my life. I don't mean there's going to be some kind of a mental thought there about getting that off. But I just think, man, it's easy. You look... Elisha and his servant. There's two guys. Let's call them. I mean, salvation wasn't the term they used then yet. But there's two guys that are God's people, right? We call them saved men. One of them's worrying himself sick. And the other one is saying, he had knowledge without even seeing. He said, those that be with us are more than they that be with him. And he's not worrying. Two different attitudes totally. But they're both saved people, what we call saved people. But see, we're more like the first guy than we are Elisha. But Elisha, you know, he was walking in the power that he had. And we got the same power to in a permanent way, more so than he had, plus we have the Word of God. You know, and this is the prayer, that the kind of prayer that we need to pray, that God would open up our eyes so that we can see these things, really see ourselves. It's so hard to evaluate yourself in the negative light, you know, like where we say, man, okay, maybe this would be a good idea. We'll get little papers and pads out, and then everybody say, okay, what's your negative things? What things do you need to work on? What things do you need to get out of your life? You know, you don't have to show it to anybody, so you can be real honest. Husbands and wives can, like, separate so your wife can't see what you write down. And you wrote, just think if we wrote down, if we really evaluated ourselves, where we'd be lacking and slacking in. I mean, man, it's some, you know, we would see that. So, you know, and that's okay. We need to see that. We need to have our eyes open, our spirit's eyes. But we don't hardly ever have a prayer request like that. Lord, open my eyes and let me see. Let me see this and deal with it. Help me deal with these things that's in my life. Because we get satisfied. I preached that before. the biggest problem with Christianity today or Christians today is we're just satisfied with where we get to spiritually. We're just satisfied. We're satisfied to run around through the world worrying and sweating and fretting about everything and not getting anything done because of the fear that we have that we can't get anything done. Instead of trying to say, hey, man, I want to be like Elisha. Man, I want to go ahead and go on with it for God. And we get satisfied. Content, we get with contentment with that. And then we get blinded at both ends of the spectrum. We're blind down here. We can't see what we are in Christ. And then we get at this end, we can't see the impact that the world has had on us as a church. Man, it has really impacted us. It's supposed to be the other way around. The world's supposed to be afraid of us. But I mean, in a right kind of way, the right kind of fear, afraid of what power that we have with God. They ought to be afraid of that. You know, I was thinking about the Syrian army. They didn't even, I mean, knowing that what Elisha could do already, and they didn't have enough respect yet for him, fear. But boy, when they saw the chariots of fire, they didn't move. They didn't go any farther. And then when he blinded them. But then, you know, the grace of God was shown to him, the love of God, when Elisha said, no, you can't kill him, feed him. Feed him and give him hunger. Man, they packed up and they went home. They didn't have any more trouble out of Syria because of that love that they showed, the love of God. And so, you know, we need to see the provision that God has for us. Man, we've got his word. He didn't give us his word for nothing. And so many people, I think, today are consumed with, you know, what am I going to get out of this? What am I going to get? Eddie was talking about the Facebook church, you know. Listen, it's not assembled together. I mean, because number one, you may get something, but what are you giving? You can't minister to a cotton-picking soul. Unless you go out and do it, and if you can go out and do it, then you just come to church. I mean, you know, you got a lot of, we're so consumed with taking in. You know, a lot of people, man, I mean, Bible studies, good. Those are good things. Terry's got them. But a lot of people over the years, I've seen people, man, they go to every Bible study, every revival, everything they can get because they're taking in. What do they do with it? You know, it doesn't go the other way. That God gave us his word, not just to bless us, not just to, I mean, it is to help us. It is to equip us, but equip us. When you have equipment, when you're equipped to do something with it, we got the Word of God. He gave us the Holy Spirit, not just so we'd feel good, get that warm, fuzzy feeling, woo, man, I'm filled with the Spirit, but that we could do something, for God there, to take away the fear right there. So we can't see the provision of God, and then we don't see our feebleness, our own self. Those are two areas that we're blinded in. It's two areas that we need to ask God to open our eyes and see. And so I think that's the prayer that we ought to pray tonight as we get ready to close. Paul, I'm about ready to close if you get ready to come back in here. That, you know, that God would help us. God help us to see what we are in Christ, see his provision that he's already provided. It's not nothing that's got to be made or done, anything. It's already done. And then open our eyes to help us see how weak and needy that we really are, you know, and that we really have to depend on him. I mean, not because we're weak and needy, not because of any lack of Christ from his point of view, but it's just the fact that we don't see it, you know, because, you know, if you can't see, like, I don't know about you, man, but if I get a bump or something on, you know, I mean, I'm one of those, I'm not going to say, well, I'm just going to leave it. No, I'm going to find out what it is, you know, let's get it fixed. But if you don't see that you have a problem, you don't get it fixed, right? So we have to see that we have a problem, and that's where we need to pray that prayer tonight, that we'd pray that way. Amen? Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to you tonight. Help us to open our eyes, to help us see what we are, what we should be, Lord. I guess we look at it that way. Everything that you've done for us, Lord, that we can reckon that, know it, reckon it, Lord, which is see it, Lord, and then open our eyes to see what the world has done to us, Lord, how it's affected us as Christians, Lord, as churches. Open our eyes to see that we are in the midst of the enemy camp, Lord. We're living in the world, Lord, but help us to see and understand that as well. So have your will and way in our invitation now. Speak to our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name.